all different party lines. Just the lack of discipline a lot of people have. So you have rules about how to conduct primaries, and someone just wakes up and decides, you know what, I don't want this person. I'm just going to do it the way I want it done. And they go around convincing people. And people don't just see that there's a need to follow rules. So that's one thing, you know. We saw that play out generally, right, with INEC and the IREV and VIVAS. You know, so it goes right from the top, right down to the bottom, and then back up again. So that's one thing. And I realized truly, you know, that mantra people keep saying about the capacity, about the people we need in leadership. They have to be people of character, of competence, and of capacity, which is critical. And that character is that discipline element. You know, you really have to be disciplined to say, these are the rules. These are the kinds of people that we need to have in these places, people who have character. Because no matter what leadership or governorship system you're running, it can be an autocracy, it can be a democracy, it can be, if the people of character are not running it, you end up having one that does not meet the goal, which is really to make sure that there's good governance. So that was one thing I really learned. I think the other thing too is the disproportionate, just it's a ridiculously expensive venture. Mm. And when it's expensive, I mean, the mindset of so many Nigerians, you want to have a meeting, you need transport to come and listen to you, talk to me about how you want to come and serve me. You know, you call for a meeting, feed me. You know, so what has happened, and I found, is that the system we've been running for decades, this whole idea of back allocations, statutory allocations, where in a month, a state does absolutely nothing. Mm. And you just carry money, billions, and dash them from the federal pot, from a region that maybe the oil that is being made or taxes that are being paid in other states and whatever. I just dash them for doing nothing. What that has done has really infected the minds of our people, where they really, there's this huge entitlement mentality that I don't need to work for anything. I don't need to be adding value. There's money somewhere. Just give me money. Mm. So they don't even understand. A lot of people don't understand that. So that was one other lesson. One thing I know I definitely want to advocate for, I'm part of a group called Fix Politics, and we really do a lot of work around engaging the citizenry, really pushing for reforms. You know, so the electoral act, for example, was quite a victory. Now, of course, it's to follow the rules. But the other thing I really want to advocate for is independent candidacy. I know that people have been pushing for that, but I think we need to push more. Because you see, a lot of the challenges, and I saw this play out, you know, across the different parties. I mean, one smaller party. My father is in a much bigger party. And I see this across the board, right? It doesn't matter what party it is. Party people feel entitled. A lot of them want to, you know, for them, if people get into power on their platform, it's their turn to chop. So there's that obligation to give party people who maybe supported your campaign or who are officials in the party appointments after people get into office. And that's where we're having problems, because that's how come you have square holes in round pegs. Mm. So we're not giving the appointments to the best people who can really deliver and who can make sure that we're performing properly on all indices, on the human development indices, economic indicators, everything. We're not. Instead, we're giving appointments to people, even in critical, extremely critical positions, on the basis of political party loyalty. You know, so that's why you see it across. Everybody's so desperate. People are going crazy. They'll do anything to ensure their party wins, because they expect that they're going to get an appointment. And they'll get in there, and it's not about delivering for the people. It's all about, we're going to chop. So we as Nigerians too, we need to be very aware of this and begin to rise up against it. We are doing that already. But really up that game and begin to demand performance. And so that was one thing. I think the last thing too that really struck me and saddened me too was just how much neglect our communities have suffered, especially in the rural areas. I mean, I ran in Benue. I ran for a House of Federal, you know, federal constituency, Kwando Jungle, which I always say is the most beautiful place in the world. But the access road was terrible. You get from Makurdi to this place. It shares the border. Part of the local government, one of the local governments shares the border with Cameroon. It's from Makurdi you can get to Katun Ranch. It's from Makurdi you can get to Taraba and all those places. So you have to pass through those. The road is a mess. It's horrible. And they gave this contract, awarded this contract to some company, maybe a company called Brockbridge, about 4 years ago, 2019. The value of that contract ran into hundreds of millions of dollars, if I'm not mistaken. And they started work, abandoned it, come back, do this, do that. You know, so started following up. But what amazed me was just how much, as a people, we've accepted this low standard. It's almost as if we think we Black people or we Africans or Nigerians, we don't deserve good stuff, right? But it's okay for our leaders to go abroad for treatment. After all, they are the leaders and they can go to Igbo land. And in Igbo land, or when, you know, Igbo come here, we give them the best of what we have. But we're willing to settle. Our environments are filthy, they're trash. And it's all across the country, all across rural areas. And it's amazing. Where's our sense of pride? Where's our sense of self-worth? We're made in God's image, you know? So these are some of the things that really began, that really stood out to me, that really gave me a resolve to say, okay, you know what? We can't continue like this. We have to keep fighting. I didn't win in my election. Of course, INEC logistically messed it up. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. So when people tell me the elections were well organized, it was free and fair. You know, I think, what bubble are you living on? You know, all across the country, we saw what we saw. I ran for office, and I had 11 other friends who ran, and we experienced very much the same thing. Materials coming late, them not following their own rules, them, some of the people were not even trained, you know. They just got their names put in at the last minute so they can get money. So they'll come. The person that comes to your polling unit does not know how to operate the beavers. You have to start teaching her how to type on a system. Come on. You know, so there was so much that I learned. I'm still distilling. I'm still processing. I'm actually hoping I'll write a series of articles on just the things that really struck me, and I'm taking notes and reflecting. But it was quite a lot. But it was good. I got to see quite a lot of people, meet people, understand the people, and also see the good of the land. So that was a very interesting experience. I'll stop there.
I mean, that's a very great one. But I also, you know, like you to talk to me now about the massive insecurity in Benue. 134 people we hear killed. All of that has been happening going back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, people were saying, that during elections, attacks stopped. People were in Benue, they never stopped. Those attacks are underreported.
Okay.
Those attacks, and the way the media, mainstream media carries, they always say farmer-herder clash. There's nothing about a farmer-herder clash. These are attacks on communities with children, women, the elderly, where they are sleeping in the night, and hordes. The last attacks, while I was in Kwandi, which is my local government, on 2 days before election, that's about 23rd of February, I was there in some of the villages. In fact, my second cousin was killed. In some of the villages, behind the mountains, they don't have network, whatever. 300 horde of these armed terrorist headsmen, or whatever they call themselves, descended on that community. I mean, they're terrorists, they're just criminals. I don't even bother myself calling them headsmen or giving them an ethnic coloration. Whatever ethnic group they are, they're just terrorists and criminals. They descended. Now, this is a population. They come with guns, machetes. They hack people to death. It's not a clash. A clash means two people met on a battlefield somewhere and both brought weapons, and we're fighting each other. It doesn't happen that way. So those attacks have been going on for months. So when you hear the outgoing governor, when he was shouting, yes, he was. And across the state, there are parts of his local government, he's from Puma local government, they are displaced. There's a place in Kwandi called Jatoka. It's actually the homeland of the Tiv people, one of the headquarters of the Tiv people. During the colonial era, it was the headquarters of Tiv land for colonial administration. Jatoka is filled with displaced people. And they've been displaced. Those attacks have been going on. In December, we took relief materials in a particular community. We went because they were flooded, they were affected by flood. But they had even been displaced before the floods by terrorist headsmen. Across that other side, we could see bush burning. So as who is burning bush in this area? And they said it was the terrorist across the water, burning the bush and waiting for the water to subside so they can cross over and come and attack. I'm like, so what's going on? Has this not been reported to the authorities? We even raised the alarm about it on top of our social media pages and calling for whatever. Sometimes the authorities may come, they may not come. Sometimes they'll come, stay for a few days, and take off. Once they're gone, the terrorists come back in. You know, so those attacks have been going on, and they've escalated since the election, you know, almost every day across the state. So in the three senatorial zones, if they're not under attack from terrorist headsmen, even just about 2 or 3 days ago, a young man called Stacey Wakume, who also ran for office for Federal House of Reps, so another location around Katsinala, he was also now raising the alarm that army people had invaded a particular community called Sankara in that area. And they were just wreaking havoc. So the question is, you know, so there's insecurity. The people are receiving it on all ends. You know, you get the ones from the terrorists, then you also get the army coming in. Sometimes, yes, they do come and rescue and do some work when they shout, when the people shout it. But sometimes they come in for goodness knows what reasons. They'll say, oh, people are keeping weapons here, whatever, you know. And so they're going to come and then you just see all kinds of havoc. So there's insecurity across so many levels. There's also banditry. But the huge one is the terrorist or armed headmen or whatever they call themselves. Sometimes even aligning with bandits to come and attack and kill. And I mean, they're killing. They don't spare. It can be an infant. It can be 2-year-olds. I mean, there's a huge genocide going on silently, and nobody's talking about it.
Okay, EA, real quickly.
So there's quite a lot of...
EA, what I wanted to interrupt you for is, so that I don't forget, because I also want to use the show to raise money for people suffering insecurity and banditry in Benue. Can you give us say-so accounts? Can you call it out? Or can you also, you know, call out your number so that people can reach you afterwards if they want to donate, you know, to the cause in Benue and all of that? Like, let me continue from where I stopped. That's it, pretty much. So please, how can they get across? Because sure. Because we need to be able to help these people.
Definitely. We've been taking relief materials and stuff. So in terms of accounts, we have a GTB account. I'll just call it out. CESOR Empowerment Foundation is GTB